the fact that a computer can help us with our writing, with our grammar, is there. So with all of that said, some of the things I'm going to talk about, we're going to be assisting authors and writers to do what they do best, and that's being the creative, being the driving force behind those ideas.
Welcome to Literary Gumbo 2.0, the reboot of a video program I co-produced between 2010 and 2017. Each episode explores the world of writing, publishing, and book marketing. I'm your host, Lisa Engel, the right angle to help you write and sell your story. Sit back and enjoy.
I am here today with Desiree Duffy, who has a career spanning 20 years in marketing and public relations. Her current enterprises include Black Chateau, Books That Make You, and the Book Fest. Welcome, Desiree.
Lisa, hi. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Hi. Oh, I am excited too. I have known you through the IWASC, Independent Writers of Southern California. I have to say the acronym before I can remember what it stands for. And I've seen you around quite a bit. You have, you're doing quite a lot. Why don't you tell us what all you're doing?
Sure. Well, you mentioned, yes, I have three brands. We have Black Chateau, which is the PR marketing agency that started it all. I worked many years doing PR marketing in-house. My last professional position before starting the company was vice president of a digital marketing agency. And when I started Black Show, it was with an idea of, hey, there's so many authors out there who don't really have a lot of the tools that marketers are using in the digital era. Now, this was 6 years ago, 7 years ago, actually, when I started Black Chateau. And since then, it's evolved even more. But what I took from my previous positions and brought into Black Chateau was a lot of the digital aspects of PR and marketing and integrated that into what we call the Author Network, which is designed for book launches. And it uses a combination of online tools, traditional media pitching, articles, SEO, et cetera. And then in addition to that, as we were marketing our authors' books and doing all the things we were doing, we wanted to have a form that reached the readers, because authors, when you're promoting them, their books, they want to reach readers. That's their audience, right? So that's where we created Books That Make You. Books That Make You is our consumer-facing brand. And it features book reviews. We do the Books That Make You show. I have my own podcast there. We do events and we celebrate authors. We have stories and articles about authors and a Webby Award-winning newsletter as well. The Books That Make You newsletter won a Webby Award. Then, when the lockdown hit a few years ago, back in 2020, we were getting ready to do fun things. So being from Southern California and the Independent Writers of Southern California, IWASC, you're right. That is a big acronym. It is a mouthful. but what we would always do every year is we'd be at the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books over on USC campus. USC campus. And when we realized we weren't able to do that in 2020 because everything was shutting down, we decided to create an online event, as a lot of people did. That's when people started using Zoom and having Zoom meetings and hangouts and virtual events became a thing. Well, that's when we created the Book Fest. And we have grown it since. We do it twice a year now in the spring and the fall. We are online. We've always been online, and we embrace that because then we reach readers and writers from around the world. Day one is always dedicated to the reader, and then day two is dedicated to the writer. And we do lots of programming, including at the last one, we had a very wonderful conversation, interesting and in-depth, about the use of artificial intelligence in the writing world. And quote unquote, back then, all the way back in April, which seems like forever ago. But the changing landscape and the way AI is evolving is just on fire. So even when I look back at that panel discussion, it was with Russell Nolte and Lori H. Schwartz. I think, wow, even then we were talking about things in a very rote manner. We still didn't understand what was happening. So, you know, all that panel and so many others people can access if they go to thebookfest.com to see what I mean. So, Lisa, I hope that wasn't too long-winded. That's basically about my three brands.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I tell you, yes, the world has changed so much in the last 3 years. And I actually am thankful. And I think a lot of people in Southern California, I'm in Santa Barbara, and then, but even people who are in Los Angeles, they say that they love online events because going to live events, they get in their car and by the time they get there, they're exhausted. So online events, I think, are kind of a blessing. I mean, there's in-person is great, but if you just want to learn something new, online events are just wonderful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's accessible. It's quote unquote easy. Once we got past the learning curve of trying to figure out what Zoom was, and it's like, oh my gosh, why were we doing this before? Because the technology was there. And sometimes you have to get a little bit uncomfortable. You know, you have to break out of that comfort zone, that like they call it. And then new experiences and learning can happen.
Yeah. And that is probably the same thing with AI, artificial intelligence. I actually was, I actually mentioned in a writing workshop, I said, well, that character needs some work because it sounds kind of AI. And somebody thought I meant author interference, but we're talking about artificial intelligence, which is, you know, I tell you, when I go to check my email and clean everything out, you know, and all the newsletters and file them and stuff, seems like at least five of them a day mention AI. So, I mean, this is just a broadening world, and something that's changing all the time right now, just like you were saying, and we have to adapt and change with it.
Yeah. So exactly.
So what kind of uses are you finding right now?
There are so many uses. I don't know how long this interview is going to be, but we could do entire classes on all of the things that you can do. One of the things I'm going to address first, because what I've seen and heard, Lisa, is some really big apprehensions about using artificial intelligence for writers. And I want to address that elephant in the room first, because a lot of people, I know where their heads are going, and I know what they're thinking in the back of their head is AI is replacing writers. They're thinking of things like the writer's strike that's going on. They're thinking that, oh, I heard that AI really doesn't write good stories and we should just get away with it. There's a lot of people out there making judgments, I feel, without necessarily having the full lay of the landscape. And it's hard because that landscape, like we keep saying, is changing all the time. So it's hard to keep up. But what I've been using AI for is not replacing writers, so to speak, or not using it to totally write a story. There are people out there who are doing that. There is artificial intelligence or large language models, as they're called, like ChatGPT, to write an entire book. I don't necessarily advocate for that, but I do advocate for using it to assist you in a myriad of ways. Just like Google as a search engine is a tool, and we would never think of telling an author, you shouldn't use Google to do your research. You must go to the library nowadays. Like, we've all accepted that Google is a legitimate search tool, right? Just like we've accepted that spell check and the fact that a computer can help us with our writing, with our grammar, is there. So with all of that said, some of the things I'm going to talk about, we're going to be assisting authors and writers to do what they do best. And that's being the creative, being the driving force behind those ideas. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm writing, a lot of times I create this word salad, you know, especially in the term in the world of marketing and PR. You know, once I know the author's branding and I know their mission and I know the book description, I have all of those things and say we need to put together an article about that author and their book. It's just taking all those pieces and putting them together in new and exciting ways. And the nice thing about ChatGPT, I'm going to use that as the example just simply because it's the largest one. There's many other language models out there. But the nice thing is I can feed it that and it can help me kind of restructure something that I've already written, give it a new take. And the other thing I love about it too is I have a chat where I have told it all of your future inputs should be doing these things. And some of those things are using Chicago Style Manual, because I like Chicago Style Manual. We all have, probably remember, and I still have mine up on my shelf for people that can see, I'm pointing up, because up there is that style book that I used to have to look up, you know, how do I make a title? How do I cite this? We've all done that. So guess what? ChatGPT does that for me. I don't have to think about it. Our style guide is right there into ChatGPT. And whether you use AP or Chicago or whatever, you can have it put or create those outputs in that style. I am using it to help do spell check and check for grammar. And sure, there's Grammarly and there's Word and there's all of these other tools. It's nice though to have it right there in front of me integrated and then doing all of these things at once. And sometimes it comes back and I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that that wasn't necessarily the right thing. I get surprised sometimes at some of the things that it says. So even just to kind of just underscore what I said there, helping rewrite, restructure and retool things, you know, do copy edit proofing, punching up. I even just asked my ChatGPT the other day, do you know what the term punching up means? Punching up writing? And it said yes. And it told me what it meant. And I was like, okay, future outputs, can you please make sure to punch up some of my writing? And so it kind of gives me a new take on some things. And it really is a shortcut and saves a lot of times, especially sometimes when we're doing some, you know, marketing and PR writing.
Yeah, but it sounds like you've done a lot of training. You've had to train it. You put a lot of effort into training this AI, it sounds like, and other people who have like other things that they don't want, they want to make sure to weed out punctuation and maybe they're not good with that or something. But I'm wondering how much training does it need? But I guess the good news is that like with a lot of assistants or virtual assistants, it's not going to go find another job and move along. So at least with all this training you're giving it, it's not going to take it with it and leave you.
That's a good way to look at it. It is like having a virtual assistant that once you train, then it remembers and it retains that. I'll throw in a couple of caveats because we've all seen the examples of a ChatGPT that spits out stuff that's not factual. And I had somebody call me on it. Well, you shouldn't use ChatGPT. It is known to lie and make things up. And of course it is, but you also can spend a little bit of time training it and saying, hey, future outputs need to be X, Y, and Z. And that little bit of time that you take, like you're saying, in showing and training your ChatGPT is actually probably less time than if you were to bring on an assistant to help you do that. And it makes your work go faster. And people might be saying, oh no, now there's virtual assistants who are going to lose jobs. Well, I think there's going to be a lot of jobs out there for people who can train ChatGPT and other large language models and AI. Prompting prompt engineering, which is what we're talking about. That's getting it to do what you want. That in and of itself is turning into a marketable talent right now. So if you're listening to me going, OMG, Desiree, there is no way I could ever do what you're talking about and train ChatGPT because I barely understand what's going on. The nice thing is there are people out there who can do that and they can get it up and running for you. You can hire people to help you or people can be working on different aspects in the world of, you know, just everything, every vertical at this point, from marketing to PR to writing to even online shopping and everything is using or is integrating different aspects of AI. So having people there who can do that prompting and engineer those, that is a new skill set that didn't exist before. So sure, there might be some jobs that are going away, and that's a very legitimate concern, but it's also opening up avenues and new exciting platforms for people to work in that didn't exist before.
Yes, definitely. So I can see my vision of using any type of ChatGPT or tool like that would be, I remember going through and trying to write the description, the Amazon description for my novel. And that was just, and like you said, I went through, I looked at all the comp titles and I took words, I made a word salad, like you said. And that's a great term there. And I used those to make it, and it really had nothing to do with my writing because it's not what would appeal to me. It's what would appeal to general readers in general who surf Amazon looking for something new to read. So that's where those AI generators, I think, can help. Is that correct? Or
I think you nailed it there, Lisa. When it comes to a book description or a log line is another great example. A lot of authors struggle with that. It's a common thing. I hear it all the time. Oh my God, I need to distill my book down to just a couple of sentences or a couple of paragraphs. It's so hard for an author who's written this entire volume. Then that's usually where they bring in a marketer. In most cases, if they're with a traditional publisher, the publisher is going to do their description, et cetera. But if they are an independent or an indie author or self-published author, or nowadays, there's a lot of hybrid publishers that still depend upon the author to provide them with a lot of that stuff anyway. So they can use large language models like ChatGPT to help them, to assist them, rather than spend. And it's not an exaggeration to say that an author is going to spend several hours, if not days, because then they're going to go back and they're going to rewrite it, or they're going to look at it again. They're going to ask their friends feedback to now take all of those concepts and words and terms that they know they want in there and to basically cobble it together into a sloppy copy, kind of that word salad, and feed it to ChatGPT and say, hey, turn this into a book description for me. Can you make it between 100 and 200 words, two or three paragraphs? At the end, I want a pithy hook that's going to attract the reader. And then you see what it gives you. It's going to give you an output in probably just a few seconds, minute tops. And then you can read that. If you don't like it, one of my favorite prompts I use all the time is try again. It'll retool it. Maybe you like part of it. Maybe you like the first paragraph, but not the second paragraph, or it didn't capture something. Hey, the protagonist, you know, they actually go on this journey. Make sure you explain that more fully and say, try again. And now what might have taken you, again, hours, days, weeks, even, or a marketing department, all that time to flesh out is given to you. And then I always recommend, Lisa, once you take it out of ChatGPT, put it into Word And even then, you might want to do some light copy editing of your own. Maybe you didn't like the adjective that it used. Needed just a little bit of, you're punching up the copy a little bit. Or maybe it kind of said things a little bit differently. So I always recommend, once you have it, take it out, put it into Word or whatever, you know, platform you use, software you use, and then read it. And even then, if you want to take it and sit on it for a day or two and go back to it, you can. But yeah, to answer your question, that's the exact, an exact perfect example of what ChatGPT can be used for.
But what else, like stuff like generating titles or and that kind of stuff, what other kind of uses are at the top of the list for what authors can do?
Yeah, titles, subtitles, all of that. Maybe you want to have it. Now, ChatGPT can go back on the internet as of 2021. So anything that's too fresh and new, it's not going to know. And it's going to tell you, I don't know this because this is as far back as I go. But if you wanted comp titles, for example, or you wanted it to generate ideas for where you should be writing, you know, the old saying, skate to where the puck is going, not to where it's been. Authors and writers are always trying to figure out what's going to be new and fresh in the market. What do people want to read? So you could ask it to help you do some market research. What titles, what genres are selling right now? Should I be writing a cozy mystery or should it be a hard-boiled thriller? What's selling nowadays? Again, it's going to only be able to go back, ChatGPT at least is only going to be able to go back to 2021, but it can be used to generate ideas like that. One of the things that I think it's really interesting for, especially if you're writing historical fiction or something that does have a place and time that it's going to be very knowledgeable of, it can be hard sometimes to do all of that Googling, right? What did they wear in court in 1520s in France? You know, we can Google that and then you'll find little pieces here and you'll cobble it together. You'll kind of wonder if it's giving you the right information. You can create an entire thread that's just about a period in time. And you can ask it very specific questions. I do suggest you fact check it using Google just to make sure, but it's amazing. You know, this is what the gentlemen of the time who were wealthy would wear, you know, the tights and the overcoats and whatnot. What would a woman wear on her head? What would her garments be like? What was the political climate? Who were some of the main players and, you know, the lands at that time? I mean, Europe over many years, just like every place in the world, went through so much, you know, power struggles. You know, who was king at the time? What was the role of the Pope at the time? So being able to just ask it those questions and get very specific answers rather than searching and going on Google and going into the books and trying to collate it all together can be a nice little aid or assistant, like you said, as you're writing that novel. So that's another way I feel authors can specifically use large language models to help them out.
Yeah, research is a big one and marketing's a big one. How about like, well, I guess for fiction writers, it would be plot. And then I guess for nonfiction writers, it would be outlining, organization kind of thing. Is there ways that meaning AI, can work to help organize material?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to ask it and give it the information or the plot points, for example, that you already have and ask it to chart that out, it can help you do that. There are even plugins that are an option now in ChatGPT if you have ChatGPT-4. So the plugins include a plethora of things, even as far as making charts and graphs. So if you're a visual learner and you want to take your plot, for example, and have ChatGPT with the use of that plugin. Now, I do believe it's at the paid subscription. It's $20 a month if you want to pay for it. Otherwise, there's the free versions. But by adding plugins like that, you could get a visual representation of your plot or a graph, you know, the traditional plot, you know, ascending items and then the climax and descending. So it could plot things out for you. You could also use it to help you remember your characters. I hear this a lot, especially authors of, you know, science fiction and fantasy and big, the ones who have big worlds, lots of characters, right? It's really easy to lose track of, okay, this person, they have dark skin and green hair and yellow eyes, and they're from the blah, blah, blah race. You can use it to create character profiles that you can just add to and go back to. Sure, of course, you can use, you know, Word for that. I know a lot of authors who have a Bible that they create, but you can use ChatGPT and other forms of AI for that. Fun fact, ancillary to what writers use when or need when they're creating worlds, game masters. I'm somebody who back in the day, I played Dungeons and Dragons. I was a dungeon master back in my day. And I had the dice and I had the worlds and I had the notebooks and I had the monstrous compendium and the DM guide. And I had all of the books, all of the volumes. Well, nowadays, artificial intelligence is being used by gamers to create these worlds, to remember these worlds, to create a lot of this stuff. And it's very akin to what a writer might need it for, especially, again, if they're creating robust worlds in their book series and they need to remember, retain, and maybe even need a little bit of creative inspiration along the way.
That's great. Very, very helpful. So you mentioned that the paid version of ChatGPT is $20 a month at this time. So do you think that, is that worth it to go for that? Or do you think people can get enough out of the free version? Or is there other programs people might want to use? I know that, some people do all that organizing and stuff in Scrivener. I've never used it, but a lot of people like to use programs like that. And maybe those companies are going to be developing AI to go into their programs or anything like that. Have you heard, since you're out there in this community of people on this groundbreaking industry, have you heard anything?
There are a lot of companies, you're absolutely right, that are using AI integrations. A lot of companies popping up out there. You mentioned you're getting a lot of emails. A lot of them are powered by ChatGPT or powered by something underneath it. And you'll hear that a lot. It's, you know, even Bing is powered by ChatGPT. So there's a lot of collaboration and things that are happening on that front. I have noticed, yes, one of the platforms I use, and I'm not endorsing it. I'm not speaking. This is not in any way even a paid endorsement. I don't even know if they know I use it, but I use AutoCrit. And AutoCrit is a community as well as you can put your manuscript in it. You can evaluate it. I like to use it as a marketer because I have authors that come to me and they want me to represent their book. And then they're like, hey, can you read my entire manuscript? I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. I can't read, you know, all 250 pages in the next day. I get, you know, many, many people, but I do want to evaluate your writing kind of quickly and get an idea of where you land. One of the things that AutoCrit does is using a form of artificial intelligence. I can't speak to exactly what kind, but it's really nice because you can upload your manuscript or pages or a chapter even, and it'll give you outputs and it'll compare it to different authors within your genre. It'll search and identify different areas in your writing where you could it could use improvement. It'll tell you how many adjectives you're using, how much dialogue you have. There's a whole list of things that'll help you with. So that's one thing that I know personally that is using some form of AI, I have to imagine, in that. Is Scrivener using that? I can't speak to that. However, I could see them and so many other platforms out there, if they're not adapting to it yet, they will be soon, because it is such a powerful tool. You know, even we mentioned Grammarly earlier, all of these tools that are already out there and that we've been using, and even Search, Google, Bing, etc., all of that was the precursor to where we are now with AI. So one could argue that even running something through Word was a precursor to what's out there nowadays. So to answer your question, I think a lot of the platforms we're familiar with are going to be using it. And if they're not, they will be using it soon. I, as a marketer, get messages and emails and notifications too. I just logged into one of our websites the other day, and I can see that WordPress and Elementor, which we run our websites with, has new AI integrations. I just logged into Constant Contact the other day. That's where we do our email marketing. And I saw them posting or giving a notification about their AI integration. So those are some of the things that I'm seeing and keeping up with. And so I recommend that if any of your listeners out there see that, take a few minutes to explore it. See what they're doing. See if it can benefit you. Because again, that AI integration is already underneath and probably powering or will soon be powering a lot of the platforms that you use.
Yes, AI is here to stay, it looks like. Yes. So if somebody's just starting out and they want to try what they can see what they can do with it, so you recommend first starting with ChatGPT?
I think so. And I'll fully answer that question, because you did ask, should they use the free version or the paid version? You can go to OpenAI, and you can sign up for a free version of ChatGPT. I think it's ChatGPT 3.5 at this stage is what you would get. I recommend trying it out. Play with the free version. And if you decide that you like it and you would like to unlock some of the paid aspects of it, if you think it is for you, then you can subscribe. And it's $20 a month. You can cancel at any time. I don't think that's a really huge investment. Ways, though, you can find it. Bing, actually, Bing kind of came out of the gate full throttle and surpassed Google as far as search engines. In the world of AI, Google's been doing stuff for many, many years, and they were kind of playing their cards close to the vest. And then Bing came out, OpenAI came out, ChatGPT, and a lot of these firms just went barreling past Google in a lot of ways. So it's interesting, because if you use Bing, you can actually use their search functionality in Skype. And a lot of people are like, oh my God, you old fogey, you still use Skype? Yeah, I still use Skype. And actually right now I really like Skype, because it's got AI, Bing AI, built right into it. Can just sit there as if I was chatting with a friend on Skype and chat with Bing AI. And it has, it's citing sources, it's citing where it's finding this information. So those are just a few ways that if somebody wants to explore this and they're like, well, I don't necessarily want to do the ChatGPT, you can find it in other platforms as well.
Have you tried Google's Bard?
I have not tried Bard yet. No, I have not. Have you?
No, I haven't. So there's a, so that's interesting. Let's see where they go with that. But you mentioned AutoCrit. Is that how it's called?
I believe that's how you pronounce it. It's AutoCrit.
Yeah. And how much is that?
Good question. I saw an offer at the beginning of the year. They were doing a sale. So I signed up. I believe it was for a year subscription. And I think it was around, don't quote me on this, around $300-ish. Mm-hmm. But I thought, again, for me to be able to quickly evaluate some of the potential authors that we work with, I thought it would be a valuable tool. And I really like it. It's fun to work with it and see that evaluation. Another thing that I saw that they do, and I've only participated in one, so I really can't speak too much about it, but they have groups and webinars, very much like writers groups. So you can join that group of writers and share your writing, get feedback. So they do that with different genres. So whether you're in romance or horror or nonfiction, I believe that they have different writing groups that you can subscribe to as well.
Okay, so that's great. So that's something I think I will look into. And I think other people will. I mean, this has been just so informative. And I think I will have to have you back at some point, because I think things are going to change a lot. A bunch of new information is going to be popping up every day. Anything that you want to leave people with?
Yeah, because we've scratched the surface on the large language models. Some of the things that I think are really exciting too is the art. And again, I know that people are upset because they feel that if it's deriving from something that exists and the artist, the creator is not being paid, that's an issue. I agree. But Midjourney can be used for some really cool things. We had an author not too long ago who had a vision for his book cover, but he was kind of pulling stuff together and it just wasn't collating. I noticed a quote from his book, a description of a scene, and I took that along with the image and kind of fleshed it out a little bit. We put it into Midjourney and we got some really fast concepts. And the author went, OMG, you nailed it. So if anybody has ever worked with a cover artist and has been trying to get them to see their vision and it's just not working, that can be really frustrating. Take, again, days, weeks to get some concepts, at least to get some concepts, to get an idea of where that graphic artist, designer, cover artist might go, can be a benefit for authors if they're using Midjourney. And again, there's DALL-E and there's so many other image generators. So that's another thing that I think is really exciting and can be useful for writers. And one more thing I'll throw out there, the voiceover aspects of artificial intelligence.
Yes. I know that I spoke with a literary agent and he was saying that one of the changes that is coming in contracts now is authors can say, no way will AI narrate my audiobook.
Exactly. Or, and I know this can cause debate, but what about the author who could never ever afford to hire a voiceover artist? It's just not in their budget. They're an independent author and they're struggling and they're doing it all on their own. They're an entrepreneur. What a great opportunity they might have using an artificially intelligent voiceover for their book narration. So I like to see both sides. And I think as creators, as writers, a lot of times it's really easy to say, oh yeah, well, you need to go hire a publicist. I'm a publicist, so I get that. A marketer, you need to hire all these teams. But I recognize that there's people out there who can't afford these things. They never could. And if they never could, it's not like you're taking money away from these voiceover artists or these folks that are doing it, but you're empowering those authors to have a seat at the table and to be at least competing more closely with some of the big players out there.
That's true. That's very true. If they are going with a big publisher, that big publisher may not better not be scrimping on the narration. So that's what that is. How about what, do you have anything coming up that you want to plug, any events or?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We have the next book fest that is coming up October 21st and 22nd. Like I said in the beginning, we do the book fest twice a year in the spring and the fall. Right now, currently, until the end of Labor Day in September, the Book Fest award submissions are open. So if you're an author who has a book, please consider submitting it for a Book Fest award. It was really cool, Lisa, just a couple of weeks ago, or last month, I should say, several of the last Book Fest award winners opted in to participate in the salute to the Book Fest award winners. And we had a big display on the NASDAQ board in Times Square, New York. So it was really a cool moment. So we're going to do that again for select winners again. But you can submit for that. And the Book Fest is going to be filled with panels and discussions and authors talking about the craft of writing and so much more. And I can tell you this, I'm not going to tell you too much because I want you to find out when you join us, but there will be an artificial intelligence / new technology discussion happening at the next Book Fest as well. And people can sign up, get email updates, just go to thebookfest.com for that.
Great. And I will make sure that the that is linked in the transcript. So everything is so just very cutting edge right now and exciting. And I just want to thank you for taking some time and sharing this with us and giving us an introduction to this big new thing, big new world.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me.